Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Big week. Fed meeting started today. So tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon, they'll come out and announce what the next rate hike is going to be. 75 basis points, a full 1%. Right now, the bond market is saying 75 basis points. The reason I say that is if you look at the 3 month, it's, let me go to my thing here. 3 month is trading at 3.34. So that tells me probably projecting 75 basis point hike up to 3%. I think if they were projecting 1%, the interest rate would be higher there on the 3 month. But we shall see. We shall find out. In fact, it'd be very interesting if they raised by 1% because the 10-year is trading at, maybe 3.5, 3.6. So if they go up to 3.25%, that would be 100 basis point raise. You know, the 10-year, I don't know that it stays at 1.5. If it does, then you're most likely going to get an inversion with the 3 month. If it goes up, then what does that do to mortgage rates? Because right now, mortgage rates are over 6%. And so what does that push them up to? 6.5? Who knows? Who knows? But it's definitely impacting the housing market. That's for sure. I'm not saying there's the housing market crash has started or anything like that, but it's definitely been a headwind, as you could imagine, making houses just completely unaffordable. You got a high price, higher interest rate, therefore those mortgage payments just out of the reach of most Americans trying to buy a home. Okay, but CNBC did a poll survey on this, so let's go over and see what they had to say. Title of this article, the Fed is now expected to keep raising rates, then hold them there, according to a CNBC survey. The key talking points, Wall Street finally looks to embrace the idea, but a reserve will hike rates into restrictive territory. I like how now 4% is restrictive territory. I mean, I get it based on the economic metrics that we're working with right now. That is, I guess, restrictive. But based on history, I mean, that's not restrictive at all. Moving forward, the central bank is forecast to keep hiking until rates peak in March of 2023 at 4.26%. There's growing concern among respondents that Fed will overdo its tightening and cause a recession. See, this is hard for me to understand. Let's just assume for a moment that, and I know they're not using the term recession this way, but for most people, if you say an economic recession, they would say, oh, well, that means the economy isn't healthy. The economy is fundamentally unsound. I think that's what the average Joe and Jane, if you walked through Costco today and just interviewed 10 people, that's probably how they would connect the dots. A recession means the economy is unhealthy. Okay, well, let's think this through. Historically, interest rates, Fed funds, 5, 6%. So if we're in an economy right now where the Fed has to stop at 3.5% or below 4.26% in order to engineer a quote-unquote soft landing, does that alleviate, does that somehow take away the fact the economy cannot handle normalized interest rates and therefore is fundamentally unsound? And if it's fundamentally unsound, or if it cannot withstand normal interest rates, couldn't we say that that means the economy is very sick, it's unhealthy, and therefore wouldn't that be pretty much the same thing as a recession? I mean, it's like, it seems as though the Wall Street types are trying to get caught up in semantics just to justify or rationalize a continuation of a bull market. I don't know. So first thing I've got highlighted, the September CNBC Fed survey shows average respondents believe Fed will hike 75 basis points on Wednesday meeting, bring Fed funds to 3.1. The central bank is forecast to keep hiking until rates peak 2023. So here they go on to say that the Fed has realized the severity of the inflation problem. But what they fail to point out is that every single time the Fed has made a projection, they are wrong. Almost 100% of the time. So this is probably the best argument for saying that inflation is transitory, in my opinion. because when they say it's transitory, you can almost bet that it's not. And when they say it's not transitory, you can probably bet that it is. And I know a lot of people would argue that inflation is not, but I think it depends on your definition. People just kind of talk past one another. And if you're, most of the people that say inflation is not transitory, they admit, well, sure, it can go down to 6%, but it's not going down to 2%. Well, okay, but this, I mean, again, how are we defining transitory? Or if you're defining transitory is going from wherever we are down to back down to 2%, okay. But can't we define transitory as going from 9% down to a lower rate at 6? See, again, it's just, it's kind of wordplay there. People talk past one another when really, at the end of the day, a lot of times they're saying the exact same thing. So the 35 respondents were economists, fund managers, and strategists. These are the people that responded to this survey. One of them was my good friend, Peter Buchvar. Great guy. And, you know, he doesn't talk about it all the time on CNBC, but he's a real hardcore libertarian as well. But Peter said basically that he fears that they've gone too far. And here, you know, Peter doesn't have the opportunity to go into great detail, but I would submit the Fed has gone too far. It depends on what your objectives are. If your objectives are very short term, and if your objectives are to ensure the economy sustains as little pain as possible within the next year, then yeah, I would say, I think there's a great argument. And I think that's what Peter's saying here. But I think he would also argue the Fed hasn't gone far enough if your objectives are long-term. If your objectives are long-term, you got to let interest rates do what they're going to do. And I'm not saying they would go way higher. I don't know. Maybe they go lower. Who knows? But you've got to let interest rates be. You can't micromanage the price of money, which is one half of every single transaction. If price controls don't work, and pretty much every economist would agree, price controls do not work. They're a bad idea. Well, then how can we control the price of money and expect that to somehow work? Like rent control. Ooh, that's bad. Whew. Yeah, you got to let the market decide the price of housing. But yet somehow, how about the price of money? Oh, no. We can't leave that up to the market. That's only the superior intellect of the Federal Reserve or the 900 PhDs at the Federal Reserve can handle that task. It makes absolutely no sense. So my point there is, I think what Peter is saying is that, yes, they've gone too far, meaning that if your goal is just for the next year, if your goal is 5 years, 10 years, if your goal is to truly get the United States back on sound footing when it comes to economic fundamentals, you got to let the rates go where they're going to go. And that might be a lot higher, which would cause a massive depression and a deflationary depression. If they just let rates go and just stay back and did nothing as far as monetarily or fiscally, that's deflation right there. It's just everyone who argues for inflation, like my good buddy Schiff. And I think Schiff would even admit that if the government and the Fed did nothing and just let rates be, that we would experience deflation with a D. But their argument is that although the economic fundamentals point to deflation, the central planners are going to combat the deflation with so much inflation as far as an expansion of the money supply that they will override any of the deflationary pressures of the economic fundamentals. And therefore, on net balance, we will see significant rates of inflation. But my point there was trying to determine what is right, the correct policy for the Fed, in my opinion, really determines on what your objectives are and what your time frame is. Respondents put the recession probability in the U.S. over the next 12 months at 52%. Look. How can you say that with a straight face? What if I asked you guys, what would the probability be over the next 12 months that the United States goes into a recession? Understanding that we've just had two consecutive quarters of negative GDP and an inverted yield curve for the last 3 months. 52%. And these are the experts. Okay. Oh, and this is another expert they talk to. This guy wants, I won't say this guy's first name because I don't want to be disrespectful here. But they interviewed this gentleman and he said, and he's arguing a bullish case on how the Fed can engineer a soft landing. And again, this soft landing implies that the Fed can just stop raising rates, inflation will come down, and the economy will be, quote unquote, strong again. And this is where I always push back, because if the economy was strong, the Fed would be able to continue to raise rates. It wouldn't have to engineer anything. It could raise rates up to 6-7%, and we wouldn't have to worry about a hard landing. So you cannot argue that the economy is strong when the Fed funds rate is below, I would say, 5%. And that never sits well with me, is what I'm trying to say. And you got a lot of people that say, oh, it's great, because if inflation came down, then the Fed could start lowering rates, and that means the economy would boom. No. Yeah, the economy isn't booming fundamentally. It might be booming for other reasons, like a sugar rush from stimmy checks, but it's not booming from the standpoint of being on sound footing, right? Creating more goods and services. All right, but this gentleman says, all the Fed has to do to enjoy a soft landing is stand down after raising the Fed funds rate to 3.25% and allow real GDP growth to remain positive. Let that sink in for a moment. You guys hear anything wrong with what he's saying at the end? And allow real GDP growth to remain positive. I don't know what planet this guy's on, but the planet Earth, the United States, has had two consecutive quarters of real GDP contraction, negative growth. So again, I don't know what planet he's on or what alternate universe where the United States has had real GDP growth. Therefore, that real GDP growth could remain positive. You see, this in and of itself, to me, kind of disqualifies the guy. If the guy doesn't even know that we've had, or if he's, you know, if he's got the blinders on to the point where he's ignoring the fact, doesn't even want to acknowledge the fact we've had two quarters of negative GDP. Is this someone that we really want to get their take on the economy? Personally, I don't think so. And you'd think CNBC would call them out on that. I mean, can you imagine the reporter doing this story, you know, calling the guy on the phone, and the guy says, well, all the Fed has to do to create a soft landing is to leave rates at 3.25% and allow real GDP growth to remain positive. Isn't the very next thing the reporter says is, oh, yeah, Mr. XYZ, but GDP growth is negative right now. It's not positive. It is? Okay. Well, in that case, you know, where do you go? I mean, great journalism here.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level.
Elsewhere in the survey, more than 80% of the respondents said they made no change to their inflation forecasts for this year or next as a result of the Inflation Reduction Act. Okay, this is something I can agree with them. That's for sure. Because this is the stupidest although it might go the opposite. I didn't think about it that way. Yeah, it might change in the fact that I would increase my expectations for inflation. I was just assuming that they were talking about reducing their expectations for inflation, where, yeah, maybe they're thinking, oh, reduce or increase. But obviously the Inflation Reduction Act has nothing to do with decreasing inflation. About half say stock prices are too high relative to outlook for earnings and economy, and half say they're too low or just about right. This tells me that I wouldn't make a bet one way or the other. I like to make a bet when everyone is on one side of the boat, and then you take the opposite side. When people are just half and half, it's just kind of a crapshoot. Is the market going to go higher, lower? Who knows? It could go either way. As an example, let's look at this next sentence I highlighted. During the pandemic, at least 70% of the respondents said stock prices were too high. 70%. So when 70, 80, 90% of the respondents say stock prices are too high, that's when you want to, assuming you're in a bear market, that's when you want to buy. Now, if stocks were at all-time highs and they said it's too high, I wouldn't be a buyer then. But if stocks have absolutely collapsed and everyone is saying that stocks are too high relative to the fundamentals because the fundamentals are going to continue to deteriorate, that's when you might want to think about dipping your big toe in the water there. And let's see, they had their expectations for inflation. Yeah, current 8.3 going down to 6.8, then to 3.6. Like the Fed is just going to raise rates up to this perfect level and inflation is going to gradually come down while the unemployment rate gradually goes up, but no problem. And then when we get back to 3.6% inflation, then the Fed can raise rates. And oh, forget about the fact that the real economy cannot withstand normalized interest rates, then we're off to the races. That's kind of what they're predicting. And inflation's going to go, unemployment's going to go up, but, you know, modestly, 3.7. These are always how these projections work. They just take the current trend and just extrapolate it mildly, gently into the indefinite future. And it never works out this way. Never. Unemployment rate, now at 3.7, is, they say, 4.4, while still low by historical standards. It is rare for the unemployment rate to rise 1% outside of recession. There you go. So no, we're not going to go into a recession. Inflation's gradually going to come down. It's going to be like watching paint dry. Unemployment rate might go up slightly, and then your dream gets interrupted by facts and history that say, oh, well, the unemployment rate going up by 1%, we've always been in a recession. And then they conclude by saying, most economists said that the U.S. is not in a recession now. Right. But again, this depends on your definition. I was listening to Ray Dalio's book today, just finished it up, which was fantastic. And he read some statistics. It was something to the effect that 80% of Democrats think Republicans are racist. And it was about the same, like 80% of Republicans think Democrats are socialists. And I thought, how could you come to that conclusion on either side? I think it's a lot easier to come to the conclusion that Democrats are socialists, but even that, it depends on how you define it. Now, if we are truly defining the word socialist, the way it means, or what it means as far as the government ownership of means of production and whatnot. No, come on. The majority of Democrats are not socialists. The majority of Democrats, I would argue, are just big welfare, Sweden, Denmark types, you know, high taxes, big safety net type thing. Now, that takes you on the slippery slope to socialism. Absolutely. But to say they're outright socialists in the same way that you would say, if Lenin was a socialist, or, you know, I don't know where, I think you start with, technically with Marx, you start with socialism, and then you move on to communism from there. Actually, you start with capitalism. I think you move on to socialism, then you go to communism, something like that. But no, the Sweden is not socialist. I mean, that's nonsense. Sweden is very capitalist, but they've got a big welfare state. Those two things are not the same. And so, again, it's the Democrats looking at the Republicans saying they're all racist. I mean, come on. That's so naive. And yeah, if you want to define a racist as someone who believes in the unity of the family, I mean, nowadays they're taking it to that extreme. Or someone who disputes maybe the wage gap, oh, well, they're racist. Okay. So it's really kind of your definition. It's like the economists have done that today with the word recession. It's like they've got this brand new meaning of it that just implies or the definition is whatever they want it to be. And it's all just based on political narrative. So it's just kind of interesting how you see that phenomenon occurring in different areas of society in 2022. All right, so market seems to think that we're going to get a 75 basis point hike, pretty much what the bond market's saying. I doubt Jerome Powell is going to want to surprise the market. And so if I had to place a bet, I'd say probably 75. I think what's going to be really interesting for me is to see what the 3 month, they probably, since the market's expecting it, you probably won't see too much of a rise or decline in rates across the yield curve. But it'll be interesting to see what the decision is and then see how the yield curve responds. And obviously, that'll give us a great excuse to do another live stream. So until that time, just enjoy the rest of your afternoon and make sure that you're standing up for freedom, for liberty, free market capitalism. And we'll see you in the next video.